Chapter 10. Machine versus Machine. To be honest, I did not think it would happen so quickly. I had just finished David Ignatius's The Paladin 2 days prior. It was one of my guilty reads of the summer. Ignatius's spy thrillers are something I look forward to, and his most recent one was all about a topic I was increasingly concerned about: deepfakes. In the novel, a hacker team creates lifelike representations of real events to, I won't spoil it, shake things up a bit. These representations take the form of video and audio that, although fake, look and sound real even to an astute observer. Think about what would happen if videos of President Trump or President Obama emerged discussing secret negotiations with a corporate executive. Depending on the content, there might be riots, a stock market rally, or a multitude of other possible outcomes. But what if the video never happened? How could you convince the public to ignore their evidence in front of their eyes? This was the premise of the book, and I flew through it in less than 2 sittings. It was a good read, but it was fiction. Then it happened. The headline read, "Deepfake used to attack activist couple shows new disinformation frontier." Reuters reviewed in depth how a fake profile was used to submit incendiary articles against activists. The use of a fake persona to spread disinformation is not a new trick. Intelligence officers, undercover investigators, and privacy-concerned activists all use cover identities for personal protection. What was unique about the fake persona, named Oliver Taylor, was that the image of the person on the online profiles was not found anywhere else. Typically, fake profiles simply steal an image from social media. This image, though, could not be found anywhere. That is because although it looked real, the image was completely a fake. It had been created by an AI specifically designed to fool the human eye. Over the last year, Oliver Taylor submitted increasingly incendiary articles. This culminated with an article calling an activist couple terrorist sympathizers. His online persona shows him deeply involved in anti-Semitism and global Jewish events. His articles were published in newspapers, including the Jerusalem Post and the Times of Israel. Oddly, but not odd enough to raise suspicion initially, Oliver never requested payment for these articles the way most freelancers would. Likewise, the university he claims to have attended has no record of him. Oliver Taylor is a fiction. At first glance, he looks real enough. If you look carefully at the image, there is something off-putting about Oliver Taylor. There is a stiffness to the smile that seems unnatural. His shirt collar folds in a strange way, and his eyes seem to lack any emotion. If you look very carefully, his earlobe is strangely large for a human. He has some odd-looking balding spots where there are usually bangs, but none of these are apparent at first glance. Looking at Oliver Taylor's image in a byline of a newspaper or on LinkedIn, it would be easy to glance right past and assume he was real. And that's exactly what happened. Oliver Taylor's image and untraceable online persona are just one example of how deepfakes have the potential to propagate misinformation. The threat of misinformation looking and sounding like real information is drawing the attention of Silicon Valley and policymakers alike. In 2019, House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff warned that computer-generated video could turn a world leader into a ventriloquist dummy. Meanwhile, Facebook has widely reported on its deepfake detection challenge, which will ideally help journalists identify deepfakes. It has yet to be seen how either the technology or the Beltway community will address these challenges. What is a deepfake? In a story told in depth by the MIT Technology Review, deepfakes and the technology that creates them, generative adversarial networks, were created over a beer. In 2014, doctoral student Ian Goodfellow went drinking with several of his classmates. they were celebrating the graduation of a classmate. Over pints that night, Ian asked his friends for help. He needed a way for a computer program to generate photos by itself. The applications of computer-generated synthetic data were massive. These images could be used to fill holes in data collection with synthetic data to help remove collection or selection biases. Synthetic images could also be used to drastically lower collection costs for research projects, allowing the cash-strapped doctoral students to do more with their paltry budgets. Ian was not the first to think of using machines to generate synthetic data. Academic and industry researchers had been using AI to generate images and other data types for several years. The problem was that these were not very good. Images would come out blurry. Faces would be unrecognizable. To solve this, Ian's doctoral student friends suggested a statistical mapping of elements of the images to allow the machine to create them on its own. However, the challenge with this approach was simply that it would take up too much time and the computing costs would be too high. Ian decided he would try a different approach to save time. He would point two neural networks against each other. One AI would create an image, the other AI would try to detect if it was real or not. The two AIs would be adversaries, with one creating fake images and the other detecting them. The AI creating the image would in turn be rewarded for getting more and more realistic, using an advanced AI technique known as reinforcement learning. If the AI creating the image was good enough to fool the AI scanning for fakes, it was likely to fool a human also. Ian liked this idea, partially because it made some sense. In recent years, neural networks had become extremely good at detecting real versus fake images. This could allow him to generate insight at machine speeds. Ian also liked the idea because he was in the midst of drinking beers and wanted some results by morning. This would allow him to code for a few hours while his girlfriend was asleep, and then let the machines do most of the work. When he awoke, so the legend goes, the first deepfakes were available. He had created an AI that was able to generate images that could beat another AI's real or not real detection capabilities. Ian's methods became known as generative adversarial networks, shortened to GANs. They were named so because they generated new data based on an adversarial relationship between the creating AI trying to fake the detecting AI. This seemingly simple technique turned into a significant risk within information and disinformation warfare, and propelled Ian to becoming an AI celebrity. The most important reason why GANs are important is because they transformed AI into something that could only detect into something that can also create. In essence, Ian gave AI systems creativity. When speaking to MIT Technology Review, Jan LeCun, Facebook's chief AI scientist, has called GANs the coolest idea in deep learning in the last 20 years. Another AI luminary, Andrew Ng, the former chief scientist of China's Baidu, says GANs represent a significant and fundamental advance that's inspired a growing global community of researchers. A deepfake is the outcome of a back-and-forth rivalry between two AI systems. The most common analogy used is between an art forger and an art expert who is detecting forgeries. Let's imagine the two have a friendly competition to see who can outsmart the other. The forger starts with a bad forgery that is easily detected. He eventually gets so good at forging that he tricks the art expert into thinking one of his creations is the real thing. The forging AI in a GAN is called the generator. The art expert is called the discriminator. Both of the AIs are trained on the same initial training dataset. The rivalry continues until the generator is able to outsmart the discriminator. The output is a deepfake. GANs and the deepfakes they create have opened up entirely new worlds for AI. Now, AI can compose music, digital art, and even poetry. GANs are less reliant on human programmers to tell the machine exactly what to do and what is in the training dataset, opening up significant opportunities in the field of unsupervised machine learning. This, in turn, opens up huge opportunities in commercial solutions for self-driving cars and other autonomous vehicles, where labeled training data required for supervised machine learning has been increasingly challenging to obtain, given the volume of data and multitude of objects on a road to tag. At the same time, GANs open up new areas for disinformation campaigns. As useful as GANs are to AI research and the advancement of AI capabilities, they bring with them significant societal risks. Part of these risks fall under the category of existential risks. GANs are able to reason with closer to human-like consciousness. This also means that the artifacts of GANs can fool humans. This is where they become dangerous. Deepfakes have all the hallmarks of a real image, video, or audio segment, but they are not real. Technology that can create artificial events that can be widely spread represents a significant threat to targeted organizations.